तव कथामृतं ताप्तजीवनं कविभिरीडितं कल्मषापहं श्रवणमङ्गलं श्रीमदाततं भुवि गृह्णन्ति ये हृदा जनाः. द नेक्चर ऑफ द वर्ड्स इज द लाइफ फॉर दोज हु आर स्कॉर्च्ड बाय द वर्ल्ड. द वर्ड्स विच हैव बीन अटर्ड बाय द यूनिवर्स ऑफ ट्रूथ व्हिच यू हैव पाउच सिंस द वेरी हियरिंग ऑफ व्हिच इज बेनिफिशियल व्हिच आर ब्यूटिफुल प्लीजिंग टू द इयर्स Present to the hearts, which are inexhaustible, those who recount them on the earth are the givers of plenty. Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, recorded by Swami Brahmananda. As I told you, five people recorded the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. First, Girish Chandra Sen in 1875. He was a Brahmo, liked Sri Ramakrishna's talk very much, and he started to record Sri Ramakrishna's teachings. And those are published in the Brahma magazine, Dharma Tattva. The second gospel was recorded by Suresh Chandra Datta. He recorded 910 teachings of Sri Ramakrishna. Some are very small, some are long. Some of his teachings were translated in sayings of Ramakrishna, teachings of Ramakrishna, not fully translated. The first one was not translated. The third gospel was recorded by Ramchandra Datta, not translated into English. The fourth was recorded by M. That has been translated. And the fifth one, Brahmananda. That also has been translated under the title Words of the Master. We have here in our bookshop. It was during 1899. Udbodhan magazine was started by Swami Vivekananda. And Swamiji asked his brother disciples to write something for the magazine. So Swami Sivananda wrote an article, Pranayama. Swami Brahmananda wrote an article on Guru. And he started to write the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna. It is a very small book, as you see, this is the whole book. But very authentic. It is our direct disciple who lived with Sri Ramakrishna, who listened to them, and then he recorded. And regarding its authenticity, we should not have any doubt. It happened in Banaras. Sri Ramakrishna appeared before him at night and said, "Jai Rakhal, you recorded that one. I did not say that." So Maharaj got up and asked his secretary, "Hey, bring the manuscript, cut that one." I told you from a memory, I heard it from a monk in some Gujarat or somewhere, and I told that story, please remove that one. So we can understand that how these teachings are very faithful and very authentic. I had an intention, you see, if you study the Bible, same story recorded in four different ways by four gospel recorders, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Same story. Some places we see more elaborate, some places brief. Wordings are different, but the theme, the story is the same. Same thing we find in the Gospel of Ramakrishna. Him is very close to the original. He recorded Sri Ramakrishna's verbs, words, because it was recorded in his diary. And Sri Ramakrishna's colloquial expressions, those things are very, very important. Oh, grammar they wrote in his language, taking Sri Ramakrishna's ideas, wrote in his own language. So we want the freshness of the gospel. Maharaj's also. Very fresh. You see, Bengali language, they call it chaste language and colloquial language. Cholti bhasha, sadhu bhasha. In the book, we are book language. But written, but while colloquial language is different. It is Swamiji introduced colloquial language in Bengali literature. If you read his Pracho, Paschatto, Puribrajog, those roots are originally written in Bengali. The East and the West, the Memoirs of European Travels, those are all colloquial Bengali, but full of adjectives, very difficult to translate some of these things. Anyhow, so what we are trying here now, that we shall read the original Sri Ramakrishna's words so that you can get a little taste how Sri Ramakrishna spoke. Then I shall read the translation, and then I shall make my comment. And then we shall read that how in aim recorded in the gospel, same story. So we are experimenting this new type of class. Look. The name of the chapter, Obstacles to Sadhana. Obstacles in spiritual life. অভিমান শূন্য হওয়া বড় কঠিন। পেঁয়াজ রসুনকে ছেঁচে কোনো পাত্রে রেখে তারপর পাত্রটিকে শতবার ধুয়ে ফেললো, তার গন্ধ যেমন কিছুতেই যায় না, সেই প্রকার অভিমানের লেশ কিছু না কিছু থেকে যায়। ইট ইজ ভেরি হার্ড টু গেট রিচ অফ ওয়ানস ইগোইজম। দি কাপ ইন হুইচ দি জুস অফ দি গার্লিক আর আনিয়ন ইজ কেপ্ট reaches the strong odor of the bulb, though it may be washed hundreds of times. Similarly, some trace of a person's egoism is always left behind. Let me tell you the Vedantic standpoint, what Sri Ramakrishna is talking about. Abhidhar lesh, that is the Vedantic word, residue of ignorance. The discussion arose, jivan mukti. After illumination, what happens? Where does the ego go? His whole I is one with Brahman. So the individual ego is supposed to be vanished 100%. Just like salt doll goes to take the bath in the ocean and melts instantly and become one with the ocean. Look, that is the position. So Vedantic teachers thought that if we do that, then you will not get an illumined guru. Jivan Mukta Guru you will not get. So they kept Abhidya Lesha. A little ego remains. Do you know how Sri Ramakrishna explained? Here is a kind of stone. And you are rubbing with another piece of stone. The whole stone, the one which is in your hand, is almost gone. But little remains between little your finger. It is just like you are grating the carrot. A little near the stem, a little remains in your hand. Otherwise your hand will be scratched. A little remains. But that does not obstruct your illumination. If your mind is 95% illumined, lighted, 5% darkness will not be visible. Vedanta gives another example. You see in the park, oh, the rage is running. Immediately you know it is a rage horse, is running. But near the back or the, near the belly, but there is some patches of gray or a little white. But you do not see it because it is so small, that patch. But entire 90% body of that horse is red. So we say the rage is running. So this is the position of Vedanta. A little ego remains, otherwise he cannot function. Without ego, he cannot function in this world. That Sri Ramakrishna is talking about. The cup, and now the juice. And now this is a big issue in Girish's life. Sri Ramakrishna said, you still smell. You came to me, gave Bokalma, and have become a very devotee, but still even in the world, your past samskaras is still there. Then Girish says, sir, will it go? Yes, it will go. But washing will not do. You can wash 100 times, the garlic smell from your pot will not go. How will it go? Burn it. If you put that pot into the fire, all the smell will go. What is that burn? The knowledge. Gyanagni. The fire of knowledge. The fire of renunciation will completely erase that smell of worldly sprig, worldly odor. Will completely wipe out. That Sri Ramakrishna said to Girish, sir, will it go? Yes, it will go. Now see that in the gospel, how these things has been recorded by him. I shall read a little bit in advance. Sri Ramakrishna to Narendra. Are you well? I hear that you often visit Girish Ghosh at his house. Is it true? Yes, sir. I go there now and then. Girish has been visiting Sri Ramakrishna for some months. The master said that none could fathom the depth of Girish's faith. And his longing for God, it is M's writing, was as intense as his faith was deep. At home, he was always absorbed in the thought of Sri Ramakrishna. Many of the masters, devotees, visited him. They talked only about Sri Ramakrishna. But Girish was a householder who had had varied experience of worldly life. And the master knew that Narendra would renounce the world, that he would shun women and gold, but mentally and outwardly. Master, do you visit Girish frequently? No matter how much one washes a cup that was contained a solution of garlic, still a trace of the smell will certainly linger. The youngsters who come here are pure souls, untouched by lust and gold. Men who have associated a long time with women and gold, the smell of the garlic as it were, they are like a mango pecked by crows. Such a fruit cannot be offered to the deity in the temple, and you would hesitate to eat it yourself. Again, take the case of a new pot and another in which curd has been made. One is afraid to keep milk in the second pot, for the milk very often turns sour. Householder devotees like Girish form a class by themselves. They desire yoga and also bhoga. Their attitude is that of Ravana, who wanted to enjoy the maidens of heaven and at the same time realize Rama. They are like other things, you know, they want pleasure and Nirvana and God both. But Girish has given up old associates. Master, yes, yes, he is like a person, you know, but his little samskaras is still there. Then he made, you know, Sri Ramakrishna is very uncompromising, both for the householders and for the monks. In a certain place, there sat some sannyasis. A young woman happened to pass by. All continued as before to meditate on God, except one of them who cast sidelong glances at her. Before becoming a monk, he had been the father of three children. If you make a solution, I remember I went to Ganga Sagar, where the Ganges met the Bay of Bengal. And I met a monk. I saw beard and ochre cloth and carbon, just like a monk. So I started to talk to him from where he was coming. I thought people from all over India, they come to Ganga Sagar during the Paush Sankranti, Makar Sankranti, in the middle of January. So he was telling that, I am married, I have a wife, I have two children, they threw me out from the home. So I put on this ochre clothes so that I can have my food. Because if you have ochre cloth, people will give you food. You can beg. If you make a solution of garlic in a cup, won't it be hard to remove the smell from it? Can a worthless tree, like a babui, produce mangoes? Of course, such a thing may become possible through the occult powers of a yogi, but can everyone acquire such powers? When have worldly people time to think of God? A man wanted to engage a Pandit who could explain the Bhagavata to him. His friend said, I know of an excellent Pandit, but there is difficulty. He does a great deal of farming. He has 4 plows and 8 bullocks and is always busy with them. He has no leisure. Therefore, the man said, I don't care for a Pandit who has no leisure. I am not looking for a Bhagavata scholar burdened with plows and bullocks. I want a Pandit who can really expound the sacred book to me. Sri Ramakrishna is talking about samskara, that garlic smell. You see, janma janmantarin monir glani anurago srute dhuye muche jai, Sri Ramakrishna said to his disciples. The all accumulated of past samskaras of birth after birth, can be washed away, wiped out completely by the grace of God and by tears and prayer. Through crying and prayer, you, God, out of compassion, will come and erase all of your samskaras from the mind. You see, this is the way Sri Ramakrishna never discouraged people. Make effort. And by God's grace, everything is possible. If you make effort, God will come forward to help you. Tik tik sannasi, but tyagir lakkhun kirub jano. তারা কামিনী কাঞ্চন কোনোরূপ সংস্পর্শে থাকবে না, এমনকি স্বপ্নেও যদি কামিনী সহবাস হচ্ছে বলে জ্ঞান হয়, তদ্বারা ঋতুস্খলন হয় কিংবা অর্থের উপর আসক্তি জন্মে, তাহলে এতদিনের সাধন ভজন সব নষ্ট হয়ে যায়। নাও হি ইজ হার্ড অন দি মনাস্টিক্স। হোয়াট ইজ দি সাইন অফ এ জেনুইন সন্ন্যাসিন? ওয়ান হু হ্যাজ রিনাউন্সড দি ওয়ার্ল্ড, অর ত্যাগী, one who is without worldly attachment. Both must be entirely unconnected with lust and gold. Should either feel an attachment for gold or be troubled by pollution, even in a dream, all his spiritual exercises would come to naught. Very hard on the monks. Bijoy. In the gospel, young Haridas talked with a pious woman. For that reason, Chaitanya banished him from his presence. One of his disciples of Chaitanya, Haridas, he was very fond of a woman and he used to go to that woman for food. And that woman would lavishly give him food. He said, the beggar monks, so they will give him. When Chaitanya heard about it, banished him from his community. A sannyasi associated with lust and gold is like a beautiful damsel with a bad odor. The odor makes her beauty useless. Once a Marwari devotee wanted to give me some money. Mathur wanted to deed me some land, but I could not accept either. The rules for the life of a sannyasi are very strict indeed. If a man takes the garb of a monk, he must act exactly like one. Haven't you noticed in the theater that the man who takes the part of the king acts like a king, and the man who takes the part of a minister acts like a minister? But on attaining the stage of the Paramahansa, one becomes like a child. A child 5 years old does not know the difference between man and woman. But even a Paramahansa must be careful so as not to set a bad example to others. Then he was talking about Keshav Chandra Sen. He was a great leader, a great spiritual person. Swamiji Sri Ramakrishna said, but he could not make progress because he was a householder. He could not renounce. You see, do you know what Chaitanya says? Sannyasir alpa chidra sarva loke gaye shukla vastre moshibindu joi chena lukaye. It is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sannyasir alpa chidra. A little attachment of a monk or some kind of alpa chidra, any loophole, alpa means small, chidra means hole. A little loophole of a monk's character, sarva loke gaye, everybody talked about it. Shukla vastre moshibindu joi chena lukaye. Your dress is completely white, dazzling white, but there is a little ink pot here, a little ink, a little fountain pen, you know, if you touch it. So only, I do not see the whole white, I see only that blue ink sign here. Your whole place is white, I do not see the whiteness. I see only this thing. So he is telling a monk's life, though he is blazing renunciation, purity and all those things, but if he has a little something wrong, sarva loke gaye, people will talk only about him. But as you ink that, you cannot hide it. It manifests, it shows. Similarly, a monk's character is very, very important. He's talking about, do you know why? Because monks are the role model in the society. If the role model is wrong, the society will go wrong direction. And there was I remember a yogi used to say, all religions are busy with the poor people. Nobody is taking care of the rich people. I take care of them. That's the reason I have 91 Rolls Royce. Later on, he was in jail. Yes, see. These teachers have become very popular because they compromise. They say, both sex and samadhi, both are I can give to you. That they promise. Anyhow, in this respect, Sri Ramakrishna is very uncompromising. No way. If you like it, don't like it, he doesn't care. Bhagavan Kalpataru, Kalpataru Nikoj Boshe, Je Jakishu Prarthana Kare, Tai Tar Labh Hoy. Sri Ramakrishna is talking about Kalpataru, wish fulfilling tree, that parable he is talking. এই নিমিত্ত সাধন ভজনের দ্বারা যখন মন শুদ্ধ হয় তখন খুব সাবধানে কামনা ত্যাগ করতে হয়। কেমন জানো? দেন ইজ স্টার্ট এট দ্যাট ফেমাস স্টোরি। এক ব্যক্তি কোনো সময় ভ্রমণ করতে করতে অতি বিস্তীর্ণ প্রান্তরে গিয়ে উপস্থিত হল ও পথে রৌদ্রের তাপে এবং পথ ভ্রমণের ক্লেশে অতিশয় ক্লান্ত ও ঘর্মাক্ত কলেবার হয়ে কোনো এক বৃক্ষের নিম্নে উপবেশন করে শান্তি দূর করতে করতে মনে মনে ভাবলে যে এই সময় যদি একটি উত্তম সজ্জা মেলে তাহলে তাতে অতি সুখে নিদ্রা যায়। পথিক যে কল্পতরু নিম্নে বসেছিল তা সে জানত না। মনে মনে যেমন এই বাসনা উঠল তৎক্ষণাৎ সেইখানে উত্তম সজ্জা এসে পড়ল। পথিক অত্যন্ত আশ্চর্য হয়ে তাতেই শয়ন করলে ও মনে মনে ভাবতে লাগলে এই সময় যদি একটি স্ত্রীলোক এসে আমার পদসেবা করে তাহলে অতি সুখে শয়ন করতে পারি। এই সংকল্প হতে নতেই তখনই এক যুবতী পথিকের পদতলে এসে উপবেশন পূর্বক তার সেবা করতে লাগল। পথিকের এই দেখে আহ্লাদের আর সীমা রইল না। তারপর তার খুব ক্ষুধা পেতে লাগলো ও সে মনে করলে যা কিছু করেছিলুম তা পেলুম, তা কি খাবার কিছু জিনিস পাবো না? বলতে বলতে তার নিকট অমনি নানা প্রকার খাদ্যদ্রব্য এসে জুটল। পথিক সেগুলি দিয়ে তখনই উদর পূর্ণ করে সেই শয্যায় শয়নপূর্বক সেদিনকার সব ঘটনা ভাবছে। এমন সময় তার মনে হলো যে এ সময় যদি একটা বাঘ এসে পড়ে তাহলে বা কী করা যায়। যেমন এই যে মনে হওয়া অমনি এক প্রকাণ্ড বাঘ লাফ দিয়েছে তাকে ধরলে এবং ঘাড় থেকে রক্ত পান করতে লাগলো। অবশেষে পথিকের জীবন শেষ হলো। এই সংসারে জীবেরও ঠিক এইরূপ দশা ঘটে থাকে। ঈশ্বর সাধন করতে গিয়ে বিষয় ধন জন অথবা মান যশ ইত্যাদির কামনা করলে তা কিছু কিছু লাভ হয় বাজে, কিন্তু শেষে ব্যাঘ্রেরও ভয় থাকে। অর্থাৎ রোগ শোক তাপ মান অপমান বিষয়নাশরূপ ব্যাঘ্র স্বাভাবিক ব্যাঘ্র তো লক্ষ গুণে যন্ত্রণাদায়ক। মাই গডনেস, আই উইল নিড এ বিগ গুড দি ইংলিশ ট্রান্সলেশন। God is like the divine tree, Kalpataru, which gives whatever one asks of it. So one should be careful to give up all worldly desires when one's mind has been purified by religious exercises. Just listen to a story. A certain traveler came to a large plain in the course of his travel. As he had been walking in the sun for a good many hours, he was thoroughly exhausted and was heavily perspiring. So he sat down in the shade of a tree to take a little rest. Presently, he began to think what a comfort it would be, could he but get a soft bed there to sleep upon. The traveler had no idea that he was sitting under a Kalpataru tree. wish-fulfilling tree. As soon as the above thought arose in his mind, he found a nice bed by his side. He felt very much astonished, but all the same stretched himself on it. Now he thought to himself how pleasant it would be were a young damsel to come there and gently stroke his legs. No sooner had the thought arisen in his mind than he found a young damsel sitting near his feet and stroking his legs. The traveler felt supremely happy. Presently he felt very hungry and thought within himself, I got whatever I have wished for. Could I not then get some food? Instantly he found various kinds of delicious food spread before him. He at once fell to eating, and then, having helped himself to his heart's content, stretched himself again on his bed. He now began to revolve in his mind the events of the day. While thus occupied, he thought to himself, if a tiger should attack me all of a sudden. Instantly, a large tiger jumped upon him, broke his neck, and began to drink his blood. In this way, the traveler lost his life. Such is the fate of man in the general. If during your meditation you pray for men or money or worldly honors, your desires are no doubt satisfied to some extent. But mind, there is the rage of the tiger hidden behind the gifts you get. Those tigers, disease, bereavement, loss of honor and wealth, etc., are 1,000 times more terrible than the living tiger. This story, this Kalpataru story, has been described in many, many ways. Some with more color, some less color, some short, some elaborate. Same story we find in different books. Let us see what M wrote. For 81, 82. Ramakrishna. God is the Kalpataru, the wish-fulfilling tree. You will certainly get whatever you ask of him. But you must pray standing near the Kalpataru. Only then will your prayer be fulfilled. But you must remember another thing. God knows our inner feeling. A man gets the fulfillment of the desire he cherishes while practicing sadhana. As one thinks, so one receives. Let me make a comment. Your desires will be fulfilled if you sit under the Kalpataru tree, not from a distance. I am a Kalpataru tree is there, I am praying here, it will not work. You will have to go under the Kalpataru tree. Do you know what does it mean? If you really go near God, your worldly desires will not arise. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall God. If you are not too much pure, you cannot go to that Kalpataru, that tree. So it is, there's a trick there. You know, as Sri Ramakrishna saying, you will have to go under the Kalpataru tree. But even though if God appears before you, what will you ask? Just God in front of you. Will you ask that, give me a house, give me a car, give me some money? Those desires will not arise. Whole mystery is you will have to go under the Kalpataru tree. It needs a lot of spiritual disciplines to go under the tree. Go near God. God is the Kalpataru. One should pray standing near it. Then one will get whatever one desires. How many things God has created? Infinite in his universe. But what need have I to know about his infinite splendors? If I must know this, let me first realize him. Then God himself will tell me all about them. What need have I to know how many houses and how many government securities Jodhumallik possesses? possesses. All that I need is somehow to converse with Yadu Mallik. I may succeed in seeing him by jumping over a ditch or through a petition or after being pushed up about by his gatekeeper. Once I get a chance to talk to him, then he himself will tell me all about his possessions if I ask him. If one becomes acquainted with the master, then one is respected by his officers too. Meet Yadu Mallik. Go near the Kalpataru. It is in the Bhagavatam. When Dhruva was practicing, Vishnu appeared before him. Dhruva went with a prayer that I want the kingdom. I want the throne of my father because his stepmother threw him out. So Vishnu appeared before him. Seeing Vishnu, he said, I want you. I don't want kingdom. Vishnu said, no. With that motive you have come to me, you will have to have the kingdom first. And then you will get me. That look what Jesus says, first seek the kingdom of heaven, everything shall be added unto you. Kalpataru. There's an Indian folklore. A king had three wives. And he was going for war. And he asked the eldest wife, the first wife, that I am going to conquer that country, what do you need? Well, I need, he gave a long list. Then he asked his second wife. She also gave a long list. Then he asked his third wife, what do you need? I want nothing. You come safely, I want you. So the king invaded the country, brought all those things. But he did not go to his first wife and second wife because he sent the things he wanted and he himself stayed with his third wife. Because he wanted, I wanted you. I do not want the riches. But if you get the king, you will get all kings, everything. That is the tricks. The other two queens, they did not get, they got only wealth, they did not get the king. But the third wife got the king. So that is the Kalpataru story. এক ব্যক্তির মনে হঠাৎ বৈরাগ্যভাব উদয় হতে আত্মীয় ভাইদের বলতে লাগলো, নিকট বলল, সংসার আমার ভালো লাগছে না, এখন আমি নির্জন স্থানে গিয়ে ঈশ্বর আরাধনা করব। তা আত্মীয়রা এই শুভ সংকল্পে সম্মতি দিল। উক্ত ব্যক্তি বাড়ি থেকে বাইর হয়ে ক্রমে এক নির্জন স্থানে উপস্থিত হয়ে ঘোরতর তপস্যা করতে আরম্ভ করল। ক্রমান্বয়ে 12 বৎসর কাল তপস্যা করে ও কিছু কিছু সিদ্ধায় লাভ করে পুনরায় বাড়িতে ফিরল। তার আত্মীয় স্বজনরা অনেক দিন পরে তাকে দেখে সকলেই আনন্দ প্রকাশ করতে লাগলো। ও কথাবার্তা প্রসঙ্গে জিজ্ঞাসা করলে, এতদিন তপস্যা করে কী জ্ঞান লাভ করলে? তখন সেই ব্যক্তি ঈষৎ হাস্য করে সম্মুখে হাতি চলে যাচ্ছে দেখে হাতির নিকট গিয়ে তার গা 3 বার স্পর্শ করে যেমন বললে, হাতি তুই মরে যা। অমনি হাতিটা তার স্পর্শে মৃতবত হয়ে গেল। কিছুক্ষণ পরে আবার গায়ে হাত দিয়ে যেমন বললে, হাতি বাঁচো। অমনি হাতি বেঁচে উঠল। তারপর বাড়ির সম্মুখে নদীর ধারে গিয়ে মন্ত্রবলে এপার হতে পরপারে চলে গেল। আবার ওইভাবে নদী পার হয়ে এলো। তার ভাইয়েরা এইসব দেখে খুব আশ্চর্য হলো বটে, কিন্তু তপস্বী ভাইকে বলতে লাগলো, ভাই এতদিন কেবল পৃথা তপস্যা করেছ, হাতি মরলো বাঁচলো, তাতে তোমার কী লাভ হলো? আর তুমি 12 বছর ধরে কঠোর তপস্যা করে নদী পারাপার করতে শিখেছ, আমরা 1 পয়সা খরচ করে থাকি, অতএব তুমি কেবল বৃথা সময় নষ্ট করেছ। ভাইদের নিকটের শ্লেষপূর্ণ কথা শুনে তার যথার্থই হুঁশ হলো। ও সে বলতে লাগলো, যথার্থই আমার নিজের কী হলো? এই বলে তৎক্ষণাৎ ভগবান লাভের জন্য পুনরায় ঘোর তার তপস্যা করতে চলে গেল। শ্রীরামকৃষ্ণ ইজ নাও অ্যাটাকিং in spiritual life, another big obstacle is Siddhai, occult powers. Now he's attacking the occult powers. A certain person had a sudden fit of renunciation. He told his friends that the world had ceased to have any attraction for him, and he wished at once to retire into his solitude to meditate upon God. They readily assented to his laudable proposal. So he left home and, having reached a lonely place, went through austere devotional exercises for 12 long years. Having by this means acquired some psychic powers, he returned home. His friends were very glad to meet him after so long a time, and in the course of his conversation, asked him what knowledge he has acquired by his long penance. He smiled, and advancing towards an elephant that was passing by, he touched his body and pronounced these words, "Die instantly, you elephant." Instantly the animal ceased to show any sign of life. Shortly afterwards, he touched the elephant again and pronounced the words, "Be alive, you elephant." And indirectly, the animal was alive once more. He next went to the bank of the river that flowed by his house, and having repeated some mantras, occult formula, walked across the river and returned in the same way. His friends were very much struck by his performances. All the same, they could not forbear from saying to him, "Brother, your penance has been to no purpose. What is it to you whether the elephant lives or dies? And as for walking on the river, which you have accomplished after 12 years hard labor, we do it by paying a price to the boatman. So you see, you have simply wasted your labor." These sarcastic comments brought him to his senses, and he asked himself, "Really, what good have my psychic powers done me?" What with these words, he left home once more, this time to seek for God by austere devotional exercises. Sri Ramakrishna was very much against these occult powers. Why? Because it will inflate your ego and will stop your spiritual journey. He told many stories against these occult powers. He himself said to Swami Vivekananda, "All 8 occult powers are bubbling inside me. Do you like to have?" Swamiji said, "Will they help me to realize God?" "No, but you can show miracles." Swamiji said, "Sir, let me realize God first, then I shall see." G547. M described some other very interesting way. M described, "It is very troublesome to possess occult powers." Sri Ramakrishna is talking. Nangta, his guru, the naked one, Totapuri, taught me this by a story. A man who had acquired occult powers was sitting on the seashore when a storm arose. It caused him great discomfort. So he said, "Let the storm stop." His words could not remain unfulfilled. At that moment, a ship going full sail before the wind, when the storm ceased abruptly, the ship capsized and sank. The passengers perished, and the scene of causing their death fell to the man. And because of that sin, he lost his occult powers and went to hell. Second story. Once upon a time, a sadhu acquired great occult powers. He was vain about them, but he was a good man and had some austerities to his credit. One day, the Lord, disguised as a holy man, came to him and said, "Revered sir, I have heard that you have great occult powers." The sadhu received the Lord cordially and offered him a seat. Just then, an elephant passed by. The Lord, in the disguise of the holy man, said to the sadhu, "Revered sir, can you kill this elephant if you like?" The sadhu said, "Yes, it is possible." So saying, he took a pinch of dust, muttered some mantras over it, and threw it at the elephant. The beast struggled a while in pain and then dropped dead. The Lord said, "What power you have! You have killed the elephant." The sadhu laughed. Again the Lord spoke, "Now, can you revive the elephant?" "That too is possible," replied the sadhu. He threw another pinch of charm dust on at the beast. The elephant writhed about a little and came back to life. Then the Lord said, "Wonderful is your power, but may I ask you one thing? You have killed the elephant and you have revived it, but what has that done for you? Do you feel uplifted by it? Has it enabled you to realize God?" Saying this, the Lord vanished. I am recorded another version. The other version also, there is another version that the when this monastic brother came to the village, this brother says, "Show me us your power. What have you achieved by practicing spiritual disciplines for 12 years? He said, "Look, he just walked over the river and then came back walking over the river." Then his brother took the boatman, the ferry boat, gave a pice, a penny to him. Then he went to the other side of the river and came back. Then this brother told the monks, monastic brother, "After spending 12 long years, you achieved that one penny's worth of power. What good is it?" So he came to his senses. He left home and again went for tapasya, for realizing God. These are these, and Sri Ramakrishna talked about his occult powers, that he saw all bad things, you know. Our Hriday asked him, "Uncle, seek Divine Mother some occult powers." So Sri Ramakrishna told that funny story. Occult powers. নিজেকে বেশি চতুর মনে করা উচিত নয়। যেমন কাক খুব চতুর কিন্তু বিষ্ঠা খেয়ে মরে, তেমনি সংসার ক্ষেত্রে যারা বেশি চালাকি করতে যায় তারা কেবল ঠকে মরে। ইট ইজ ফুলিশ টু থিঙ্ক ওয়ান সেলফ ভেরি ক্লেভার। দি ক্রো ইজ ভেরি ক্লেভার ইন দিস ইন হিজ ওয়ে অ্যান্ড নো ডাউট থিঙ্কস হিমসেলফ সো। অল দি সেম হি হ্যাজ টু লিভ আপন filth. Similarly, the pettifogger only brings ruin upon himself by what he thinks to be worldly wisdom, but which is really nothing better than low cunning. Sa chaturi chaturi. Do you know what the scripture says? That intelligence, that cunning is real cunning which helps to realize God. We know some people, very shrewd, crooked. They try to attain success through cunning. Shrewdness. Sri Ramakrishna is talking about them. It is not very good. The crows are very clever, but they eat filth. Then look what Sri Ramakrishna told Bankim Chandra Chatterjee, the famous novelist. 669. Sri Ramakrishna talked to him, "What is the duty of human life?" "Eating, sleeping, and sex life," that the novelist replied. Sri Ramakrishna sharply, "You are very saucy. What you do day and night comes out through your mouth. A man belches what he eats. If he eats radish, he belches radish. If he eats green coconut, he belches green coconut. Day and night you live in the midst of lust and gold, so your mouth utters words about that alone." Sri Ramakrishna pounded on him. Then, "Kites and vultures, so with you are a very great learned man, famous novelist," he was a deputy magistrate. Kites and vultures soar very high indeed, but their gaze is fixed only on the charnel peach. The Pandit has no doubt studied many books and scriptures. He may rattle off their texts, or he may have written books, but if he is attached to lust and gold, if he thinks of money and honor as the essential thing, will you call him a Pandit? How can a man be a Pandit if his mind does not dwell on God? Some may say about the Jabutis, day and night, these people speak about God. They're crazy. They have lost their heads. But how clever we are. How we enjoy pleasure, money, honor, the senses. The crow too thinks he is clever. He is a clever bird. But the first thing he does when he wakes up in the early morning is to fill his stomach with nothing but others' filth. Haven't you noticed how he struts about? Very clever indeed. There was dead silence. Sri Ramakrishna continued. But like the swan are those who think of God, who pray day and night to get rid of their attachment to worldly things and their love for lust and gold, who do not enjoy anything except the nectar of the Lord's lotus feet of the Lord. Anyhow, Sri Ramakrishna went on in that way. 6:47. He was talking about the multi-millionaire, Jodhu Mallik. You know, you may be a rich man, he does not care. He will tell what is good for you. Ramakrishna said to Jodhu, a broker came and telling Jodhu, there is a plot of land in Bada Bazar for sale, will you buy it? Jodhu asked the price and the broker told him. Jodhu said, won't he give it for less? I said to Jodhu, come, you are not going to buy the land, you are only bargaining, isn't that so? He turned to me and laughed. That is the nature of the worldly man. He wants people to come to him. That spreads his name in the market. Jodhu went to other's house. I told him if he made other very happy. He said, what? Was he really happy? A certain Murli came to Jodhu's house. He is very clever and deceitful. I saw it in his eyes. I looked at him and said, it is not good to be clever. The crow is very clever, but it eats other's filth. I could tell he was badly off. Jodhu's mother was amazed and said to me, how do you know he hadn't a penny? I saw it from his appearance, I told him. Sri Ramakrishna could read what is in others' mind. He can see like an open book. But he would not tell everything openly to others because he will be very embarrassed if Sri Ramakrishna exposed. Anyhow, the Gospel of Ramakrishna, I tell you frankly, it is a wonderful scripture, but an entertaining scripture. You will not be bored. His stories, frankness, straight, and sometimes it shakes our mind, you know. Sri Ramakrishna told a devotee in Bagh Bazar, you know, sometimes you have seen many hotels and many places. In your table, you will find a gospel, Bible. Many hotels I have seen. There's a Bible there. They distribute it, you know, so that people can read it. If you take it, they do not mind. In the drawer, if you open, you will find a Bible in some hotels. So Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Brahmananda was talking, some devotees, you see, the master's teaching should be distributed among the masses. So this man, Kiran Chandra Dutta, his home was very close to Balaram's house. He heard about it. I think he thousands and thousands of copies he printed and distributed. So his son also is still doing the same thing. He prints and distributes. It is one of those distributed copies. But Udbodhan also sells it. Thakur's words are sweet, beautiful, interesting, uplifting, inspiring, enlightening. All right, good night.